Today, as we look at the last installment of When Life Gives You Lemons, we've talked about, you know, having broken bodies and broken hearts. And today, be honest with you, when we look at today what can be broken, it is sort of like, having a living death. You're thinking, oh gosh, what can it be? What can be that bad? Well, go ahead and click it, John. Your rep. Okay, reputation. Okay, what people think about you. Okay? When that gets broken, it can be pretty devastating. One reason or another, whenever our reputations are broken, it changes. It changes the way, not just that we live, but it changes the way that other people perceive us and how we function and interact with other people. There's things we can't get away from. I mean, do you ever think that there will not be a time when people think email server when they hear the name Hillary Clinton? There will never be a time when those two things will not be mentioned together. No matter what happens in the next election. So, when those times come and the rumor mills begin to stir up, and some of those things stick to your reputation or whatever, life can get pretty miserable. Okay? Sometimes, well, we'll launch in just a minute. Let's look at our passage again. Our theme passage is trust in me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you and you will give me glory. This is one of those times where God has demonstrated over and over and over again that whether we have truly done something ourselves to damage our reputation or whether there are things that are not true that have come at us as attacks to damage and affect our reputation, that either way, this statement is true. If we will trust God, trust what He can do, trust His ways, know that He is able and is at work, and if we'll believe that Romans 8, 28, can somebody give me their paraphrased version of Romans 8, 28 again? Anybody know that? And are called according to His purpose. Everything. You know, one of Dusty's favorite expressions about that is, God doesn't waste anything. So even those things that are horrible that we have to go through, especially something like maybe not somebody assassinating us, but assassinating our reputation. And you know that these days, that is the way that you eliminate competition, is you assassinate not the person, but their reputation. But if we'll trust God, then we will still be able to give Him glory. It will not matter. And that's even in those times that we brought on ourselves. So, let's look, first of all, some of the ways that reputations can be broken. First of all, through unfortunate misunderstandings. You know, sometimes our reputation is affected because somebody mistakes us for someone else. Okay? How many times have we heard about court cases where so-and-so thought so-and-so was the one that did something, and then they ended up having to suffer for years and years, whether it was in court or whether it was in jail, and then after 15, 20 years, they'll do a DNA test, and all of a sudden everything is... Well, it wasn't that person. That person's character, that person's reputation was under assault for whatever reason for all that time because they were mistaken for somebody else. Sometimes the product of miscommunication. Sometimes somebody said something, somebody did something, their intention was honorable up front. And yet, it is entirely misinterpreted. based on the context, based on the person, based on the dynamics of the situation, and the person gets pretty much assaulted. Whether it's in the media or whether it's in the circle of a network of relationships, there's an unfortunate misunderstanding and somebody's reputation is damaged. Whichever way, the result is the same in terms of how it affects the person's life and those that know them. Second, sometimes there really is a plan. You know, you're not paranoid if they really are out to get you. And there are times where people really are out to get you. You can think of some examples. You ever had an example in your life where you saw somebody who really was really being pursued by somebody else for no reason? Other than there was either an adversarial relationship or a competitive relationship or, whatever. And somebody was after it. In our life, back, it was probably 15 years ago, when Regina was first working where she works now, there was a coworker, and they were consistently, intentionally undermining everything about who she was. They were trying to undermine her character. They were trying to undermine her business ethic. They were trying to undermine everything about who she was. Because they wanted something, and they wanted to make sure that she was not the person that was depended upon. Didn't work. But I remember in that time that we just kind of had to, and it was hard, but we had to come to the point where you said, we've got to pray that God will defend you. Because for you to defend yourself at this point would only make things worse. So we just prayed, God, praying that you would defend Regina, praying, Lord, that you would help people see her character and who she is, and that they would not believe those things. And guess what? That was 1991. I forget how all that worked, but it was about 1998. So from 1998, 17 years. So she's still there. They've been long gone. People began to see how this person functioned, what this person's agenda was, and they were gone. We've got to get to that point. We understand there really is a situation here and there where people do come after us for nothing other than we are who we are. And when we do engage in those situations, that our reputations can be damaged for a while, but it's not over yet. Third, sometimes we do happen to know people, sometimes have to hang out with people, sometimes even be related to people that may not have great reputations. Now, I'm not saying that this is right, but it is what happens. I mean, what do they say about Jesus? Who did he hang out with that they didn't like? Okay? Didn't like the fact that he hung out with, the wrong kind of people as far as they were concerned. Okay? So there are times where people will cast aspersions on someone's reputation, and it's not for the right reasons. The wrong criteria are used whenever they define who the unsavory companions are. But there are times then, too, where some people are unsavory and maybe aren't the best, and when we can go there and be salt and light, or we can go there and be compromising, and it happens both ways. Sometimes we can step over the line because we're weak. Do you remember this movie back from years ago? Whenever I think about this, association of wrong people. It was a Paul Newman movie and Sally Field movie. And she was a reporter, and he was just a business guy who happened to know people.
Afton Samuels.
Yes, Afton Samuels. There you go. I knew somebody would know the movie. And essentially, she built this whole argument, this whole series that attacked Paul Newman's reputation. And it was all based on the fact that he kind of grew up with and knew all these people that had kind of gone into the underworld and were shady and everything. But he had not been in any way involved with them other than the fact that he knew them. And then Sally Field felt so bad, you know, once she figured out who he really was and spent time with him and realized that it was not, that was not who it was. And she felt so bad. I'm so sorry. I just destroyed your life. But sometimes this can cause a damage to a reputation. And then the last one is one we've kind of already hinted to. Yeah. It's just sometimes we just make dumb choices, and it does affect our reputation. It happens. We suffer the consequences, whether it's because we fudge on our tax forms, or we aren't honest with somebody, or, you know, fill in the blank. We even cause our own trouble because our reputations suffer. All right, so what is the impact of that? Whenever our reputations may be any of these challenges, let's look at a couple of possibilities. One, your integrity takes a hit, right? I mean, right now, that is what is in the political spectrum these days. Is every single thing that every single politician says, no matter what the context is strained as though it is the quintessential platform speech for whatever. Okay? No matter how off the cuff, no matter how tired they are, no matter how many, there is no context for anything, for any candidate. And so what happens is all of a sudden, it's their reputation and their integrity that takes the hit. No matter what it is. Second, impact of a broken reputation. Value of your contribution is questioned. You ever had that happen? Once your reputation has had some challenge to it, everybody goes, I'm not sure we can trust that. Man, we've done that before. Once somebody's reputation, there are certain things you just cannot delegate because that person's reputation. Now, it may be wrong, it may be right, but until you know, until there's some, it's just the way it is. The third, impact of a broken reputation, it's harder to make a new friend. Have you ever had anybody go, I've heard that name before. Or, I think I know you, or whatever. And then they figured out it because they read something in the paper, or they, you know, it was not a good connection once they finally figured it out. And it's harder to build relationships when your reputation has been damaged. Unless you are fortunate enough to be able to find a place that's not so far away, where nobody really knows who you are and has not heard your name. That's kind of hard in our culture. The fourth impact, any support network you've got gets stretched. Because now all those people that think they know you, your reputation has in some way been challenged or tarnished, and all of a sudden they have to make a choice. Do I believe the person that I know, or do I believe what I've now heard about them? And that support network, again, because trust is involved in all of that. How much can I tell this person? What can I let them do? Where can I go with them? You know, all of that is now up for grabs. Support network gets stretched. And the last thing is, you just have to have somebody there for accountability. Give you an example. It's not a good example unless you happen to like the Dallas Cowboys. I'm looking at desk if you know that, right? There's a receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, and when he came into this end of the league as a very high paid player, the owner said, you have to have a babysitter in order to keep you out of trouble. So they made him contractually pay somebody who was not necessarily a very credible person on their own, but they made him pay him to be his babysitter to make sure that whenever he got out of the car to go to the stadium, that there was somebody there making sure he didn't make bad choices. It was because of his reputation, it was required that he made some structure of accountability. And in this case, it was thrust upon him. You know, if he wanted the job, he had to do it. Well, sometimes we do need to realize that if there is a broken reputation on our part, that we're just going to have, either we or somebody is going to place accountability around us. And that is just going to be part of it. Because no one can trust us with that until there's been some other track record or there's been some indication. That's just the way that it is. All right. Are you with me on all this? I know I'm zipping through, but there really is a biblical core. The good news is that God does repair a broken reputation. He's proved it over and over again. So what we're going to do is we are going to have him tell some stories. Because you know these stories, and I want you to think, what did God do? How did he deal with the broken reputation in this story? So, story number one. God vindicated Mary by sending an angel to Joseph. Tell me about that story. What was at stake? Whose reputation? Mary and Joseph, in a sense, right? Okay. So, why? Why was her reputation challenged? She was pregnant. They were married. As far as anybody knew, the only thing they could guess was, yeah, it's a serious thing. Very serious thing. And what was Joseph going to do? The Bible says that he was a good man, an upright guy. And what was he going to do? He was just going to divorce her quietly, send her away, let her go somewhere else. Okay, but God intervened. Now, do you think that there was not a whole lot of time that Mary is stewing over what's going to happen? Now, she was with Elizabeth for a while, so some of that child growing didn't happen under the nose of folks that knew her well, as well. But when she came back, there was no more hiding.
It always surprised me that Joseph never even thought that he'd get accused of, you know.
As far as we know, it's right. There's nothing in the record that says anything about Joseph being worried about him being
right.
The one who may have broke the vow or whatever. But God sent an angel to Joseph to tell him her reputation shouldn't be questioned. So there are times we can see in the Bible, and there's others too. This is just a great example, where God shows up to vindicate somebody's reputation because he's got a plan. And he's at work. All right, you with me? Number two, second story. What about Daniel? How did God vindicate Daniel? What was he vindicating him from? Who was coming against Daniel? Who was accusing Daniel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, advisor to the king, satraps, as far as we know, you know, the mid-level politician types. Why would they do that with Daniel? All right. Daniel was a foreigner, and they didn't like that a foreigner was getting as much favor with the king as he was. So, how did they construct a plan to trap him? What did they do? Do you remember? What's his name, Jerry? Okay. They constructed a law whereby no one was supposed to pray to any other guy. And Daniel was not going to change the way he went about things. So Daniel continued to do his thing and even opened his windows when he did it. And much like in John chapter 8, where all the religious knuckleheads bring the adulterous woman to Jesus, and you often wonder if you're smart enough, how did they know to catch her in adultery? So we got the religious connivers are watching Daniel because they know that he prays three times a day with his window open, and they catch him in the act, praying to a God that is not the king. And so the king is now handcuffed himself because he made the decree, a royal decree, that if you're going to do this, then you have to be thrown into the den of lions. So they did it. But what did God do? Okay, shut the mouths of the lions. Lions didn't touch him. And when the king found out that Daniel had not been touched, what did the king, what was his response? He was thrilled because he trusted Daniel and liked Daniel. And then we went back to our theme verse, okay? Not only was Daniel vindicated, but God was given glory by the king who was not even a believer in the living God, the way that we would think someone would be, but you know, it seemed like he respected Daniel's God in a different way after that event. So God vindicated Daniel's reputation through all of that. And that was an out and out, point blank, character assassination job from the very beginning, with the intention of having him killed as well. Third. You ever think about this? What were people accusing Jesus of? Saying he was God, which for them was what? If he was saying he was God, for them it was blasphemy. Okay? Then you have all the other things that Jesus said that whenever he was resurrected on the third day, as he said he would be, it vindicated everything. In fact, it did for you and me too. Because he was the one that hung out with the wrong kind of people, ate in the house with people who were not clean, you know, or had tainted reputations themselves, and yet Jesus would hang out with them because they were willing to have a relationship with him. Fourth story. What about this gal? How did God repair Rahab's reputation? She was who people said she was.
And he included her in the lineage. And he included her in the lineage.
Absolutely. She became an ancestor of Jesus' family and lineage himself. Grafted him right in, just like he did with Ruth. Since we brought up Ruth, what was Ruth's? What tarnished her reputation? Even though it's not of any doing of her own, Nina,
Moabite.
She was a Moabitess. Let's start out with that. We can start there. Yeah. She had no children to. Her husband died. She had no children. That was not a good thing. That was, why was Hannah in 1 Samuel? Why was she so driven to go hang out in the temple so that when Eli caught her in the temple, he thought she was drunk? She was absolutely she was pouring out everything. So, all these stories are of people who in some way, how other people saw them and felt about them was serious. For one reason or another. Okay? Very important. Yes, Bethany. Now, whether it's deserving or undeserving in its attack. Truthfully, I guess what I'm trying to get you to see is it has one way or the other, the solution is the same. Other than with bringing on ourselves, there's the aspect of we've got to repent and turn. But basically, how our reputations are dealt with are the same. Whether it's true or whether we brought on, this kind of stuff out. Okay. As I was hunting for a way to talk about how we should deal with having a broken reputation, the funny thing is we have all these great biblical stories, and I'm going to talk about some passages that I think guide us through how to deal with these kinds of things so that God can be at work in us and we can trust Him. But I found a good grid in a place I didn't expect to find a good grid. It was from a guy who does risk management in the marketplace. And his steps fall very much in line with biblical concepts. I don't think the guy's a Christian, but it was very interesting. The guy's name is David Davies, and it doesn't really matter. But, John, next screen. I do want to follow his pattern, and we'll match a biblical principle or a biblical passage with each one of the steps. So, whenever we've got to mend a broken reputation, one of the things you got to do, first thing you got to do, is understand the significance of our reputation. So, step one. Okay, and Becky picked out a great passage that drives that home. That reputation is important. It's not something to think lightly of, whether it's ours or somebody else's. So somebody find 1 Peter 4, 12 through 17. I've got it in the NLT, but New Living, but you may have it in another version or so. Let's hear it from a couple of different ones. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 17. Now, in that passage, Peter talks about both possibilities for why our reputations might, in some way, have been broken. He talks about doing things that we ought not do, and he talks about people coming after us and accusing us of things that are not true. Either way, doesn't matter. Okay? Well, the one thing we've got to do is realize that whichever that reputation, our reputation and the reputations of others, is almost like a sacred thing, a holy thing. And the problem is, whenever we do things, make bad choices, we sin, whatever, that injures our reputations, that the reason why it's so significant is because they are that precious. And whenever somebody assaults us or accuses us of something that's not true, and then it impugns our reputation in some way, that's serious. Very serious. So we've got to understand the significance of our reputations and the reputations of other people in order for it to be able to be healed, one way or the other. In the culture that we live in, we have this really weird kind of dichotomy that has arisen because of technology. We tend to believe that when we use technology, that it's private. And it's not. Now, that has become increasingly more public, that technology is not private. But we continue to behave like technology is private. Now, the good news is, the good news is, when we're doing stuff we ought not to with technology, and we get found out, we have an opportunity. The opportunity to get it right. To repent, to be right with other people, to be right with God, period. And you may think that's crazy, and that's a funny way to look at it, but that is the way that I see it. Because the reality is, if you think you do something that no one else sees, the truth is, who sees it? Anyway. Okay? We got God, who sees that stuff all the time. We start to convince ourselves that either must not care or must not really think that that's such a bad deal because he hasn't hit me with a lightning bolt yet. Till we become a cockroach and the light goes on. And that is grace. Because God loves us. He turns the light on us when we're the cockroach. Because he doesn't want us to keep looking that way. It's an opportunity for our reputations to be mended. So, just remind us, there's no such thing as doing something that no one knows. That's so much less of a reality in the culture that we live in. Especially with all the technological advances that we have, with all the cameras on every corner. Now, I was kind of taken aback. About three weeks ago, I'm watching BC play Calvary. There's a drone above the game. I've never seen a drone above a game. Somebody is flying a drone with a camera in it above the field. That freaked me out. Okay, I've seen the one that flies on the cords in the NFL games, okay? But this is a high school football game. There is no such thing as not having something, someone watching. I put a piece of paper over every laptop that we have where the camera is. Because you just never know when some kid's going to walk out of the bathroom or whatever. You just don't know. I mean, they're talking about people can access computers remotely and turn the camera. We don't live in a world where anything is done in secret anymore. So, we have to understand the significance of our reputations. Because it doesn't take anything intentional for our reputations to be fair game. All right. Mending a broken reputation, you got to begin with that understanding. Step two, you have to determine the steps that you need to take. And that is determined largely upon how the reputation got affected in the first place. Was it your own break? Was it your own doing? Or is this something that someone's accusing you of? And what are the things that make it look like that's that's true? You have to know the steps. You've got to know the situation and understand that. Psalm 119. Somebody go to someone. Biggest passage here in the Bible, the biggest chapter. Psalm 119. We're looking at 97 through 104. Psalm 119. 97 through 104. Once we know what the situation is, we can then determine what it is that needs to happen. So if we have created our own broken reputation, what do we do? What steps do we know we need to take? A confession, repentance. Okay, I did it. I agree. It was sin. I don't want to do it again. I'm not going to do it again. Okay, that's where it starts. What else? What's a part of mending a broken reputation when we are the ones who create our own broken reputation? What are some things that need to happen after that? Okay, if something was taken or lost, if there's a way that we can, give that back, okay? All right, good. What else? What if it's a reputation? Or what if it's a relationship? What was it? Once upon a time, I had a math teacher who loved to spout things during class that had nothing to do with algebra. It took me years to figure it out. But one of the things he used to say was, don't believe anything that you hear and only half of what you see. Which I thought was pretty good. Don't call my sin sin. Yeah. You're right. That's true. But we are who we are, and we have to. We have to. Because if we don't, who will ever see that it's better? Who will ever see the grace of God? Okay, I've got a feeling I'm near the end of my time. So where we need to go, determine the steps. The steps are the ones we've mentioned already, and then if there's a relationship that has been broken, we have to be the ones to re-engage. We're the ones that have to go make things right. I think that's biblical. You look at Matthew 18, pretty clear. We're the ones, whenever God confronts us with a broken relationship, if we have done something against someone or someone, we've got to get it right. We're the ones that have to go do it. So that's important because that begins to mend a broken reputation. Sometimes we have to understand that there's a public-private scale. Every sin or break in reputation is not equal. To where if there's something that's rather private between two people, it needs to stay between two people. If it's a person offending a whole group of people, then that group of people needs to be dealt with. You have to do it in kind. It's not every little thing has to be shouted from the housetop. But there has to be something done to acknowledge and take responsibility one way or the other. So it's confession and repentance, but then it's also reconciliation and getting right and taking responsibility. And then doing the things to make sure that if other people's reputations have been offended, that we do whatever it takes to help that also be mended. Change your behaviors. You see that in the Bible? That we're supposed to change our behaviors? That's what repentance is, right? Turning from our wicked ways. The next one, set up your risk radar. In other words, have friends who keep you accountable. That's biblical. If you want to improve your reputation, you invite people into your life who can help you stay in the middle of the road instead of going outside the lines. And then the last thing, create your safety net, your support folks who are going to love you and help you and speak truth to you and tell you what you need to hear, even if you don't want to hear it. That all that helps to mend a broken reputation. And you can find ample passages in Scripture that would support all those things. You with me on this? Let me mention a couple just for you if you're writing things down. For step three, if you look in Revelation 2:5, you can see that it's talking about repentance, turning, and turning to God. If you're looking in for something to support step four, you can find it in James 5:16 about confessing our sins to each other, praying for one another so we can heal. And then in step five, you've got the classic passage from Ecclesiastes 4 about, the cord that won't be broken being of, multiple strands. I'll read that to you. It says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but people who are alone when they fall are in real trouble. On a cold night, two under the same blanket can gain warmth from one another, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple rated cord is not easily broken. We need people in our lives to help us. Because sometimes we don't do a good job of watching after our own reputation. There are times where we need people to be there for us because we're being assailed by others and accused and vilified, and there is no reason. And we need those people in our lives saying, "Amen. Don't react. Don't fly off the handle. Trust God. He will vindicate you. I'll stand up for you. I'm your friend." We all see that. Whenever we see reputations of entire peoples put on display like that, that's more of a stereotype of prejudice, which is, kind of the bigger scheme of it. And it is just as troubling and just as problematic. But whenever it's our individual person, our individual reputation at stake, there's an amplification to the attack. It's bad whenever you feel like they just don't like, because they don't like everybody who's like this. But whenever it's more close to home, it can be very hurtful. Neither one's good. All right. So you all think about these things a little bit. And listen to God. And see if he doesn't pop passages before you in the next couple of days that have something to say about what we've been talking about today. Let's go. Father, I pray that you would help protect our hearts, that, Lord, by your Spirit, that we would trust you, and that we would be able to give you glory. The Lord, you would protect us and our reputations, Lord, not because we want to be proud, but because we want to be humble and we want to be useful for your kingdom. Lord, I pray that well-meaning people who have destroyed their reputations, Lord, because they haven't followed you, that you would bring them to their senses, help them to see, and that they would take the steps that we've discussed today, Lord, so that they could be able to please you, to find you, to serve you, and that, Lord, they would be able to give you glory. Lord, I pray that you would help us whenever we are attacked, that, Lord, we would not act in any way that would give our enemy any joy, but that, Lord, we would trust you, let you be our defender, and that, Father, you would come and you would be our rescuer and the one who vindicates us in our reputation, because we represent you. We are your ambassadors in the world. Lord, I'm praying today There are many of our brothers and sisters in other places in the world who have been accused, who have been imprisoned. Lord, they've been vilified in many ways. Lord, I'm praying that you would let their spotless reputations be seen clearly, and that, Lord, the lies of the enemies would be exposed. Lord, I'm praying for freedom for those who are captive because they love you and know you. Help them, Lord, to know that there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are lifting them up and who are praying for their strength and their courage. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name.